Game Set Match by Kelsey Lewis, available at www.amberheat.com. When Jamie runs into old family friend and former tennis pro Matt Garza at the Bar None Tennis Ranch, she starts busting his balls in more ways than one. But will demons from Jamie's past prevent her from allowing a simmering week in the Texas heat to grow into more than a vacation fling? An excerpt from Game Set Match by Kelsey Lewis. Jamie crouched into ready position, balanced on the balls of her feet, racket lightly in hand, the way her father had shown her a thousand times. She hadn't been on a tennis court in a long time, and it felt great. She didn't miss the crowds and the local reporters and the long hours of practice, but she did miss the challenge of analyzing an opponent's weaknesses, the power she felt in her arm when she smacked a perfect forehand, the joy of dropping a shot just over the net. And of all the places she'd ever played, all the colleges and universities, all the country clubs and resorts, all the indoor bubbles, this was her favorite. The Bar None Tennis Ranch, hidden away in the Texas Hill Country, where she'd grown up. She also had a special fondness for playing on the covered courts under the lights that came on every day at dusk. It was where she'd watched her father teach her brother, Cole, and where, jealous of the attention paid to Cole, she'd gotten the other pros to show her how to play. Where she'd watched her father's jaw drop when he'd spotted her playing after months of secretly practicing on her own. The serve that Evan, a grungy rock musician visiting from Colorado, slammed at her had a lot of speed, but she easily returned it into the backhand court, well within his ability to reach it. She noticed he was sweating a bit when they'd switched sides last time, and that was good. She wanted him to work for things, not think he could beat her easily. She still had her pride. She lobbed the ball into the far corner of the backhand court, careful not to lose it in the lights. Winning that game, the score for the set was now exactly where she wanted it, 5-4. She would let him win the next game, maybe after a deuce rally or two. He'd go home and tell his buddies that the Bar None Ranch was an amazing place. The lessons had helped his game so much that he'd beat Jamie Alexander, local tennis phenom and former top female 18 and under player in Texas. And she'd go home to Houston having had a good workout and some fun, while still having challenged herself by placing the shots exactly where she wanted them and controlling the match. After she insisted several times that, "No, of course I didn't let you win," he invited her to join him for a drink at What a Racket, the ranch night spot. She begged off. She didn't feel like facing the trophy case with all the plaques and medals with her and Cole's names on them. Besides, she wanted to try out the new ball machine she'd heard about that day from her sister Maddie. She grabbed a racket and cover and headed for the far end of the block of courts. On the way to the ball machine, she stopped and ran her hand over a particular spot on the wall. There was still a dent there in the wood, even though the whole pavilion had been repainted in brown some time in the last 7 years since she left the Bar None. At that spot, on the cusp of her own pro career, of following her brother out to the pro tour, she'd had the worst argument of her life with her father. She'd been sick of the tennis, sick of his pushing her, sick of not having a normal life. They both said a lot of nasty things to each other that, in retrospect, she knew they hadn't really meant. It didn't make them hurt any less, however. The fight culminated with him shouting, probably loud enough for the guests staying in the main lodge to hear, "If you're going to play for me, you'll do what I tell you." She'd slammed her favorite Wilson racket into the wall and told him she was never playing for him again. Ever. She found the new machine 2 courts over and set it to the highest possible speed. When the ball started flying at her fast and furiously, she hit them back with equal fervor, holding nothing back this time. She practiced putting topspin on the shots, sometimes carefully placing them and sometimes whacking the hell out of them, just like her father had taught her. The machine ran out finally, and, as she looked around for a basket to use to refill it, she saw someone watching her, holding 2 wire tennis ball baskets. She felt her heart skip a beat. It couldn't be her father, could it? When she'd sneaked out of the family bungalow, he was safely in his recliner, watching college football. She refused to give him the satisfaction of seeing her play, seeing that she still kept up her game. She realized almost immediately, after that momentary clutch of fear, that it wasn't her father. The man was taller and obviously much younger than her father's 55 years. He tipped the baskets at her, and, intrigued, she went to get them. As she got closer, she thought he looked vaguely familiar but couldn't place him. And as Maddie would say, what a hottie. Jet black hair, closely cropped on the sides, but curly on top. A face lean and angular, exuding athleticism. Skin the roasted, tawny color that spoke of warm climate jeans and hours spent in the sun. Then, when she was just a few yards away, she saw them, eyes alert, thoughtful, and surprisingly blue. She only knew one person with skin just that shade and eyes so blue as to be nearly indigo. Cole's friend and former doubles partner, Mackenzie Garza. She ran the last few steps and threw her arms around him. She dropped the baskets and returned the hug. Then she stepped back and got a good look at him. "What the hell are you doing here?" "Thanks a lot. Nice to see you, too," he drawled, his voice dripping with Texas. "That's not what I meant. It's great to see you. I'm just surprised. We haven't heard much about you in the last year." "I've been keeping below the radar, rehabbing." "How are the knees? Going back on tour next year?" She grabbed his arms and squeezed. Then she raised her eyebrows. "Nothing wrong with those biceps, that's for sure." Then she ran a hand over his stomach. "And you still have the best abs of anyone I know. I can remember watching you and Cole play, praying it would get hot enough that you would take your shirt off." He rolled his eyes. "Well, sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not taking it off for old time's sake." Jamie leaned in closer and said quietly but clearly, "I will if you will." Mac's whole body jumped, and he wiped some sweat off his brow that she assumed was caused by the evening's heat. "Jesus, Jamie, you're still as much trouble as you were when you were 18. "Well, you know, I believe in growing old, not growing up." Mac shook his head. "I was watching you out there. What were you trying to kill, yourself or the balls?" She smiled, just a little more mischievously this time. "Oh, the balls, definitely the balls. You know I always like to come to the Bar None to bust a few balls." "I see." He paused for a long and definitely pregnant moment. "We are talking about tennis balls." "Of course." She picked up one of the baskets and handed him the other one. They both started walking around the pristine, rubberized green court surface, popping the baskets over the balls to collect them. "So, not that I'm not thrilled to see you, but what are you doing here? And what happened to your hair?" she asked, referring to his trademark long ponytail. She reached over and ran her fingers through the curls that had sprung up on the top of his head. The feeling was sensuous, a soft and silky texture. "I like it." As a matter of fact, she was liking everything about Mac, just a bit too much. She pulled her hand away. She didn't want Mac to think she'd become one of the touchy-feely groupies who couldn't keep her hands off him. Time, maybe, to keep her hands to herself before she got into more of the trouble that she was legendary for at the Bar None. "Time for a change. The short hair makes me less recognizable, which can be a good thing. I've been kind of at loose ends the last few months. I ran into Cole last week at the Open, and he asked me if I'd come and play the annual Battle of the Sexes breast cancer fundraiser. Seemed like a good excuse to spend the week here, see some of San Antonio and all that. And your dad's got me running a few clinics this week, charging a premium price and adding it to the fundraiser." Jamie shuddered in spite of the 80-degree heat. "Just don't make a habit of it. There's a whole world out there besides sports. Go sell real estate or become a movie star. With a body like yours, you'd make a great pool boy." Max bounced a ball at her, which she deftly caught and added to her basket. "Thanks for the career advice." She threw a ball back at him in a wide arc, and he caught it in the basket. "Just don't become a tennis teacher or a coach. You're too nice to turn into Attila the Hun." She shuddered again. They reached the ball machine and dumped their baskets into the hamper. "I was watching you play earlier. You were..." He paused, as if searching for the right word. "Gentle." "I hope Evan the Rockstar didn't think so." "No," he said. "Really, it was masterful. You kept every game close, and then just when it looked like you would win, you'd make a careless mistake. Ball in the net, one just over the line." She glanced down at her sneakers. "Yeah, well, I don't get out as much as I'd like anymore." "Hmm." Jamie raised her head and smiled self-consciously. "Well, it wasn't a crime to throw a match once in a while. Winning wasn't everything, in spite of what her father had always told her." "Feel like a real match?" Mac asked. "No holes barred? No playing gently?" "With you?" He smiled, that rakish, lopsided smile that was once the focal point of 100 magazine and newspaper shots of him. "What? Think I can't keep up with you?" "Hello? No. I think you'll kill me." "I can't move like I used to. I'm still getting physio for my knees." She looked at him and wondered. How good was he still? How good was she? She felt that old killer instinct creep up over her. She couldn't really take him, could she? She'd continued to play competitively in college, had gotten her degree paid for on a tennis scholarship. But for the last 3 years, since she'd gotten her undergrad degree, she'd only played recreationally. "How do I know you won't take it easy on me?" Jamie asked. She'd hate to beat him and always wonder. "How about if we put a wager on it? What's that fancy place in San Antonio Cole took us all to when he won his first title? On the Riverwalk? Ernesto's? That's it. Loser takes the winner to dinner tomorrow night, Ernesto's. Expensive place, tennis pro. That's a lot of money to risk. Some risks are worth taking. A sultry September Texas night. Ernesto's. And Mac Garza, all to herself. Not admiring him from afar as he commanded the courts, sleek and powerful as a panther, smashing balls and demolishing opponents. Not competing with her siblings or members of the public for a few minutes to talk to him when he came to the ranch. Not hard to make up her mind on this one. "Well, I guess I can't play with electric toys all my life," she tilted her head toward the ball machine. "Sometimes I have to give it a go with a real man." "Jamie Alexander," Max said, sounding slightly shocked, you are not a little girl anymore. Glad you noticed. Game, Set, Match by Kelsey Lewis. Available at amberheat.com. For more information about other stories by Kelsey Lewis, visit www.kelsey-lewis.com. Also, check out her blog at kelseylewis.wordpress.com.